Take. This is Hometown Take with Dylan Matthews. Every morning starting at 5, we give you the latest local Atlanta news. Sports news doesn't stop, and we're here to get you caught up on the latest Atlanta sports news and more.
The Hometown Take is on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, here's Dylan.
What's going on, everybody? It is your boy, Dylan Matthews, live in the Kia Studios, giving you the Hometown Take. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at underscore Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. Good Thursday morning to you. Hope y'all are doing well. Shout out to all my overnighters, truck drivers, third shifters. Shout out to all my early morning, late night Uber and Lyft drivers. Shout out to all my early morning, late night limo drivers out there as well. Shout out to all the first responders protecting the city, the county, the state, the country. I appreciate you. Shout out to all my early gym goers getting them good endorphins flowing early this morning. Shout out to all my people already at work or on their way to work. Salute to you. I know the vibes. I'm right here with you. Shout out to all my early morning, late night hospital workers out there working around the clock, making sure that people get the good medicine, treatment, and care that they need. Shout out to all my early morning, late night dentists, dental workers, dental assistants out there, making sure that people keep their pearly whites nice, clean, and shiny this morning. Shout out to all my early morning, late night food industry workers serving up the good nourishment for all my early risers this morning. Shout out to all my early morning, late night vending machine technicians, making sure that people can get their snack on early this morning. Shout out to all my early morning, late night front and rear load truck drivers out there, all my bus drivers riding around and getting it, making sure that people get from home to work and the kiddos get from home to school in a safe and timely fashion. Shout out to all my early morning, late night UPS drivers, UPS workers, FedEx drivers, FedEx workers, FedEx pilots out there, Amazon drivers, Amazon workers, all my early morning, late night airport workers out there as well, including all of my volunteer air traffic control workers out there. Shout out to all my early morning, late night mailmen, mail women, postal workers out there, making sure that people get their mail and packages in a safe and timely fashion as well. Shout out to all my early morning, late night local 728 transportation drivers in the film industry. I'm a local 613 IBEW workers out there as well. Shout out to all my early morning, late night hospitality workers, hotel workers out there, making sure that people are having a great stay wherever that may be. All my local funeral home workers, all my local donut makers, and of course, all my people listening in the bed right now as well. 5:02 here on a Thursday morning. I appreciate y'all hanging out with your boy and making your Thursday and starting your Thursday off right with me. And we got a lot to get into this morning. Braves continue to do what they gotta do, win games, and they take down the Miami Marlins last night. Final score 9-1 as the Bravos now at least have secured a split at the very worst, but they will be going for the series win tonight as we're going to have Spencer Strider on the mound for the Bravos and it will be Sandy Alcantara on the mound for the Fish tonight. But going back to last night's game before we talk about tonight, last night's game, man, and we had some crazy plays last night, didn't we? It was some little bit of stuff you didn't really expect to see last night. We saw Dom Smith's little league home run being the main thing, obviously there. But one thing we did expect to see was Chris Sale pitch well, and he absolutely did that. After giving up a run in the first inning, he was like, "Man, you know what? We ain't doing this tonight. Not today." He absolutely locked in after that. Matter of fact, I do have a little stat, some numbers for you that I do want to go to because I thought it just highlighted what was out there when it comes to the Braves. And I don't know why, like, maybe Noel, I'm going to bring you in for a second. I got to bring in my producer Noel here for just a second. Is there a reason now we can't see, like, I guess it's a new Twitter update, but like we can't go to our likes anymore? Is that a thing?
I don't know what they're doing with this thing day by day. Sometimes I can see likes, sometimes I can't see quoted tweets. I never know.
It's so weird. I'm like,
with X now,
I can't go back to the tweets that I liked. I liked them for a reason, so I can revisit them. But now I can. Oh, you know what? You know what it is? I just figured it out live on air. You got to go to history and then. When you go, so you click on your little profile picture.
Right.
And then you go to history. So it'll like show profile, premium history, communities, all that stuff. So you got to click on history.
Oh.
And then you can see bookmarks, videos, articles, likes. Okay. Now.
Okay, they rearranged.
They just rearranged it. Okay. They just rearranged it. All right. I was about to say, there's no reason we shouldn't be able to see our likes. But anywho, I'm glad we were able to talk through that, Noel. Thank you. You helped me figure it out. Anywho, what I wanted to tell y'all about the Braves was, because I saw this on Twitter X last night, this stat, and so I wanted to bring it to the air this morning. I knew I would. That's why I liked it. And I even bookmarked it because I knew I couldn't see my likes, but we figured it out. Anywho, so Sale allowed the one earned run in the three batters into the game. So in the first inning. After that, he retired 20 of the next 22 batters, striking out 8 of them. Absolutely just locked in. Love to see it from Chris Sale, and rightfully so. He earns the win last night. Only had to use 2 pitchers last night, so that was good. After the last couple of days, it felt like you kind of had to tax the bullpen just a little bit, but you were able to just go with 2 pitchers last night. Chris Sale gives you 7 innings pitched. Again, only gives up 4 hits, the 1 run, 0 walks, too. How about that? Also, 0 walks and 8 strikeouts, as I told you just a moment ago. And then only other pitcher you had to use was Victor Maderos, who you had just brought onto the squad. He goes 2 innings, 2 clean innings as well, only gave up a walk, and that was it. So a good first outing for Victor Maderos when it comes to pitching for the Braves. So all around, just a great night last night for the Braves. Again, besides Chris Sale giving us just about as good as a night you could have on the diamond as possible. So absolutely love to see that. And then offensively, saw some good things. Austin Riley, a 3-run homer. That was nice to see. Gave the Braves the lead. And then Dom Smith, man, I wish it was the right call. The scores did it, but I wish they would have gave. Dom Smith is a home run, just a regular home run, right? And then he hits a ball by the outfield by the Marlins, and he makes it to third. Throw goes errant, and he then is able to get to home. Now, the right call is, you know, the triple, then the error, or whatnot. It wasn't. If the Marlins would have played it right, it wouldn't have been a, you know, inside the park home run or a little league home or whatever. But I really wish they would have get him an inside the park home run. But they didn't. It is what it is. It's all right, Dom Smith. He was flying, though. Dom Smith. He was chugging. He was going. And he made it all the way home, and you could tell he was gassed. My boy was gassed at the end of home plate. Home plate just lie there for a second. It's all right, Dom Smith. We appreciate you, man. But Dom Smith, 2 for 4, 2 runs scored, 3 RBIs. Again, home run included in that. And Austin Riley, again, 1 for 3, run scored, 3 RBIs as well. Michael Harris, Money Mike, staying hot, 2 for 5. He scored as well. Eli White, who was reinstated to the club yesterday, he goes 1 for 1. He pinch hit for Ron Acuña Jr. Ronnie goes 1 for 4, scored a run, looked good as well. Matt Olson also 1 for 5 with an RBI and a run scored, so that was good to see. Mauricio Dubon 1 for 4 and a run scored, so everybody pretty much getting in on the action offensively for the Braves, and it's good to see the Braves pick up their offense because there was a little bit of a stretch there, and they were still, you know, doing their thing. There was a little bit of a stretch there where the offense was starting to struggle a little bit, because if you go back to their game, they got shut out against the Marlins in this 4-game set. And then when you go back to their last game against the Cubs, got shut out. And then they never lost all in that Red Sox game, in the Red Sox series, until the last game of the series when they put up an eight spot. But there was 3 straight games where the Braves scored twice. So, again, and then you get shut out after you score 8 runs against the Red Sox. So the offense had been kind of up and down a little bit, and it seems like, you know, now you score 8 runs on Tuesday, 9 runs last night. You feel like you're kind of getting back into your groove offensively. So that is good to see from the Bravos, exactly what you want to see there. Also good news, Phillies lost last night. You know, they had been cooking, and they had been getting red hot after their very, very bad start, but they end up losing last night. Mets lost again, by the way, too, if you're wondering. So when you take a quick peek at the NLE standings, which, again, still early and we're not worried about, but you did pick up a game on the Phillies, so you are 9 games ahead now of the Phillies and the Washington Nationals, 12 games ahead of the Marlins, 12 and a half games ahead of the Mets. So Still feeling really, really good about where the Braves are overall, and you'll feel even better about them tonight if they can go ahead and take 3 out of 4, especially after losing the first game, and you still take 3 out of 4 against the Fish. You feel really good about that because, you lose the first game, and then you take 3 straight. That's not too bad, not too shabby from the Bravos. So hopefully they can get that done tonight. Feels like they should be able to have a pretty good game, but you're going to have some pretty good competition on the other side when you talk about who's going for the Marlins, because Sandy Alcantara has been pretty darn good this season. He's 3-2 on the year, 3.53 ERA, 1.26 whip in 63 2/3 innings pitched. Strider going for the Bravos. He has settled in after a rough first start in Colorado, which I think now we can kind of attribute his rough first start, his rough first outing to him being in Colorado and the altitude and things like that, because he's been pretty darn solid after that first start in Colorado. 2.45 ERA now for Strider, 1.23 whip in 14 innings pitched. So hopefully Spencer Strider stays hot and keeps it going. But feeling good about, obviously, where the Braves are at, and they just get another win last night. And like we always say, just keep winning, just keep winning, just keep winning, winning, winning. And Braves continuing to do that. So it looks good for the Bravos right now. But you get a 9-1 victory over the Marlins. But the full moves yesterday, just to give you one last update on the Braves, because I told you that Eli White came back last night and was reinstated from the IL. So that's a little bit of a boost that you get, you know, and obviously still hurts that we don't have Drake Baldwin or Sean Murphy on the roster right now, both on the IL. Hopefully Drake Baldwin back sooner rather than later. Sean Murphy probably still, again, still going to be probably missing him for at least a month and a half, if I have to guess, 2 months max. But Eli White was, again, reinstated from the injured list, and Jose Azokar was designated for assignment. So do appreciate Jose Azokar, and he held it down defensively and did get some hits while he was up here. So appreciate Jose Azokar doing what he got to do. But Braves get another win, and they'll be going for the series win tonight again. 6:40, first pitch. Spencer Strider on the mound, like I told you, for the Braves. Sandy Alcantara for the Marlins. So hopefully Braves bats stay hot. Spencer Strider keeps his nice pitching going, and the Braves can get themselves another victory and another series win. All right. We do need to talk about the Atlanta Falcons. OTAs continue. I do want to let you hear a little bit more. We got to a little bit of Falcons audio yesterday. Do want to let you hear a little bit more. Tommy Rees still had some words for the media, along with Bijan Robinson. So going to let you hear a little bit from them as we continue to go through Falcons OTAs here. And then we'll also talk about Game 2 of the Western Conference Finals. Another good one. Not a double overtime thriller, but still a very good game between the Spurs and the Thunder nonetheless. But when we come back here, about 4 or 5 minutes now on the Hometown Take, we'll let you hear what Tommy Rees, Bijan Robinson, and some Falcons had to say as the Falcons OTAs continue out there in Flowery Branch. It is the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews. We'll be right back after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Thursday morning. I appreciate you all tuning in. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at _ Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. And make sure you download that free Odyssey app so you can listen to the radio station wherever you are and whenever you want to. Once you got that free Odyssey app downloaded on your smartphone and all your smart devices, you want to make sure you search for the radio station 92.9 The Game. Once you find the radio station, follow and subscribe to the station. Follow and subscribe to all the great shows on the station as well, too. My show, obviously, The Hometown Take, The Morning Shift, The Steakhouse, The Midday Show with Andy, Randy Dukes, and Bell, Chris Thompson tonight. All the great shows during the weeknight as well, too. On Monday nights, we got The Night Drive with my guy Dom Cherosky. Wednesday nights, we got Prep Sports Nation with my guy Damian Day-Day Lewis. Thursday nights, including tonight, we'll have a new edition of The Intersection with my girl Noelle White, who's holding it down behind the glass right now, and my guy Jason Longshore. And then, of course, our great weekend shows as well. Can't forget about them. Sam and Greg from The Diamond with my guy Grant McCauley, College Football Game Time, all of them. Follow and subscribe to all the great shows here on the station during weekday, weeknight, weekend. When you do that, then you'll really be in the game, because then you'll get live push notifications about when shows go live, live push notifications about when shows are having guests on live. You'll get live push notifications about when new audio and articles uploaded to the website. You'll be able to go back and listen to your favorite segments and interviews from your favorite shows. You'll even be able to go back and listen to your favorite shows in their entirety. So make sure you download that free Odyssey app on your smartphone and all your smart devices today. All right. We will get to some Falcons audio here. We're actually going to do a little bit later on the show. Probably going to do it here in about 17 minutes from now. We'll get to some sights and sounds from Falcons OTAs. But I do want to go ahead and talk about one exciting thing that's going to be happening in the city. And that is, how about Bobby Dodd Stadium getting some renovations here? That is something going down that we just got news of recently. So Bobby Dodd Stadium getting a little bit of a makeover. Georgia Tech announced Monday that the Develop Fulton Board of Directors unanimously approved a bond inducement resolution for up to $70 million for a renovation project that will help modernize and upgrade the stadium on the school's campus. And, you know, this comes from the Georgia Tech website. It said the next evolution of the home of Georgia Tech football will feature chair back seating, updated video boards and sound system, and new suite and club seating opportunities. This renovation will provide modern amenities and a greatly enhanced game day experience for all fans that watch the Yellow Jackets play at Bobby Dodd Stadium. So you love to hear that. And look, with Georgia Tech coming on up in the football world, thanks to, you know, the efforts of Brent Key, Haynes King, and others that, you know, now moving on, obviously, to their next level, but obviously Brent Key's still there. You have an opportunity to make these upgrades and have people back you and ready to be able to, okay, we can get behind the Yellow Jackets now. So good to hear that. It's much deserved for the Yellow Jackets and Brent Key and everybody to get a nice new home, or a renovated new home, not a new home, but a nice renovated Bobby Dodd Stadium. So I'm excited to see what it all is going to look like and just what it's all going to entail. But got a pretty good description of what you're going to get. Again, be nice with the chair back seating. Sounds like new suites maybe coming, or some renovated options for that as far as that goes. Video board, sound system update. So definitely all going to enhance the game day experience at Bobby Dodd Stadium. So absolutely love to hear they're getting some renovation. So I did want to bring that news to you and congratulate the Yellow Jackets on being able to get those renovations done. But I do also want to talk about game two of the Western Conference Finals. They were going down last night, and we got ourselves another good one between the Oklahoma City Thunder and the San Antonio Spurs. Again, not a double overtime thriller like game one was, but it was still a very, very good game, back and forth game. OKC kept trying to put the Spurs away, but the Spurs kept coming back. And it was a good game, but OKC did eventually pull away one final time. They get the job done, 122-113. So they even up the series at one apiece. Obviously, it would have been very, very bad for OKC to go down 2-0 going into San Antonio, but they at least get a game on their home floor. And look, for San Antonio, mission accomplished still. Still got a game in OKC. Still stole home court, which is all you were trying to do. Win one of those first two games in OKC, and that's exactly what they did. So even though I'm sure last night's loss definitely stings, and you know it was something that they probably felt like they had their chances, but still overall a very much a successful first two games for the San Antonio Spurs. But you had to figure SGA, the now reigning two-time MVP, was going to bounce back after not having a great shooting night in game one. He bounced back and had a very good shooting night in game two. Dropped a 30-piece, 30 points, 12 of 24 from the field. So shot 50% from the field. Was 0 of 3 from 3, but still had a good shooting night even despite going 0 for from 3. 9 assists, 4 rebounds, only 1 turnover for SGA. So, again, very, very SGA-like last night, again, and definitely had a bounce-back game after, you know, not having the greatest shooting night. He didn't have a terrible – it's not like he had a terrible game. He just didn't have the greatest shooting night, which kind of allowed the Spurs to be able to get in there and steal game one. You also got good performances from Alex Caruso. Jeremy Cain hit 3 threes. A.J. Mitchell gave you 10 off the bench, too. You had 4 guys in double figures on your bench, and that was a big difference, too, on why OKC was so successful in game number two. Like I said, Caruso gave you 17. He was 5 of 7 from the field, 3 of 4 from 3. So Alex Caruso got the hot hand right now. Cason Wallace, 12 points, 4 of 6 from 3. So he made basically all his shots when he was called upon. Jeremy Cain, like I said, hit 3 threes, hit some big ones, too, a few big ones late in the game, and then A.J. Mitchell gave you 10 as well. So you feel good about the bench being able to step up, especially because Jalen Williams, J-Dub, only was able to play 7 minutes last night. Only gave you 4 points because he, again, went out with that left hamstring. Seemed like it's come back and it's bothering him again, still nagging him. And we always talk about hamstrings and how they can be very, very tricky. And they can be very, very iffy. And it seems like J-Dub maybe, and look, it's the playoffs. You want to go out there and play and put it all on the line. So I'm not blaming Jalen Williams at all. Let me be clear about that. But it seems like maybe he came back a little bit too early from that, from his latest hamstring injury, and he upset it, aggravated it again. And so we'll see if he's able to come back at any point this series. But definitely tough. That's a tough loss for OKC. But the good news is they have been winning playoff games without him. And so obviously they want him in the lineup, but they have experienced, you know, a lot during this regular season, most of the regular season, I should say. And then obviously when their first two playoff series without him. So it's not like they can't get the job done without Jalen Williams. And that may sound harsh because you do want Jalen Williams in there, but again, they have experience. And so I fully expect probably A.J. Mitchell to go back into the lineup for game three if Jalen Williams cannot go. Game three tomorrow, Friday, on NBC and Peacock, 8:30 start. So we'll see if J-Dub is able to get in there and play. But I would probably think no, but I don't know. Between the traveling, it just feels like, you know, that may not be a thing for Jalen Williams to play, but we shall see. But either way it goes, you got, again, great production from your bench. Last night, Isaiah Hartenstein had a really nice game, 10 points, 13 rebounds, 3 assists. Chet Holmgren gave you 13 as well, too. So you got some good production from your other guys, and that's what makes OKC so tough, man. They are deep. And, I mean, look, all these teams that are at this point in the playoffs and the conference finals, they're deep, but it just feels like OKC is really, really deep. So we'll see how it pans out. But again, good bounce back night for OKC. Shot 48% from the field. Only shot 36% from three. So it's not like they shot lights out from three, but they hit the big ones when they needed to. Spurs, though, they shot the toughest thing about Spurs is that they shot the ball really well and still going to end up in a loss. They shot 49% from the field, 40% from three. I mean, that's as good as you can ask for. Shooting darn near 50% from three. I mean, that's pretty dang good. Three guys who gave you at least 20 points. Wemby gave you 21 and 17, 6 assists. Did have 4 turnovers, though. 22 points from Devin Vassell. Now, the problem, Stephon Castle, he gave you 8 assists. He gave you 5 rebounds. But 9 turnovers. And remember, in game one, he had 11. Still found a way to win because Wemby had an all-time game. But Stephon Castle has got to fix this turnover problem he's having in these first two games. He's got 21 turnovers in the first two games. That dog ain't gonna hunt, big fella. And look, Stephon Castle, as a Georgia boy, I'm fun. He gotta ease it up on the turnovers. That cannot continue to happen when you're having darn near double digit turnover games. That just cannot continue to happen throughout this series. But Dylan Harper,
De'Aaron Fox, bad.
De'Aaron Fox has been playing.
Huh?
De'Aaron Fox been out. You talking about?
That's what I'm saying. They need him.
Oh yes. Yes, they absolutely do. Yes, you're absolutely right about that.
Point guard.
Yeah, they do. They do. And I'll be interested to see when De'Aaron Fox comes back. I'm not surprised that he didn't play in game two because they already kind of stole game one. But I would like to think that maybe going back to San Antonio, they'll bring him back. So we'll see what De'Aaron Fox, his status is. But I will say Dylan Harper, who's been playing in the spot of De'Aaron Fox, has been doing a good job. He had 12 points, 5 of 10 from the field. But yeah, Stephon Castle is the primary ball handler until Noel's point. Bad. And they do need De'Aaron Fox back bad. Because there's a lot to think. Spurs lost by 9 points. Yeah, Stephon Castle had 9 turnovers. And look, I'm not trying to equate points to turnovers, but you get half of those possessions back. Who knows what could have been? So we'll see how game three plays out, but Thunder take game two, 122-113, series tied at 1-1. And again, I'm expecting nothing but absolute cinema from this series. All right, when we come back here, we'll let you hear some of what Tommy Rees, Bijan Robinson had to say from Falcons OTAs earlier this week. Also, we got some NFL headlines we got to get to. Rodgers calling it a career, and Joe Burrow thinks it's Super Bowl or bust for the Bengals. We'll talk about it next here on the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Thursday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Thursday morning. Hope you all are doing well. I appreciate you all tuning in. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at _ Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. And make sure you download that free Odyssey app so you can listen to the radio station wherever you are and whenever you want to. Going to get into some Falcons audio, then some NFL headlines here because we got Falcons OTAs have been going down this week and we've heard a lot from Kevin Stefanski, Tommy Rees, Bijan Robinson. And it's been good to hear from the fellas, players and coaches. And one of the things that I do want to focus on here is Tommy Rees, and he was talking about the expectations for Kyle Pitts this season. And I want to focus on this because I do wonder, depending on, because let's be honest about this. If there's a scenario that comes up where the Falcons are maybe struggling around the time the trade deadline comes about, because at the end of the day, this is a tough schedule. Not to say the Falcons can't make any noise. Not to say they don't have a good team. But at the end of the day, this is a tough schedule for the Falcons. Point blank, period. And there could be a scenario in which they are struggling. Trade deadline comes around. And depending on how well, or maybe not well, depending on what Kyle Pitts is doing, and how he is fitting in with the team, fitting into Kevin Stefanski's new system, you can't help but wonder. We know Ian Cunningham loves draft picks, wants to acquire as many draft picks as possible. Can't help but think, if there's any guy that could maybe get you a draft pick, an extra draft pick, could be Kyle Pitts during the trade deadline. Now, I'm not saying he's not going to get you a first or a second. I think he can maybe get you like a third at best. probably a fourth, but I think he gets you a third, especially if he's playing well. But anyways, the question is, you know, could he be a trade deadline candidate? Talking about Kyle Pitts. And I think he could be. It all just depends on what's going on with the Falcons. Obviously, if they're winning and they're in the heat of a NFC South division race, then they're not going to do that. But if the writing's on the wall that this may not be their season to make the playoffs, then this, it could be a situation where they try to do what they can to get a draft pick, and maybe trading Kyle Pitts is one of the things they can do to do that. But what are the expectations, though, that Falcons offensive coordinator Tommy Rees sees for Kyle Pitts this season? Because I think we all are wondering, in this new offense with Tommy Rees, Kevin Stefanski obviously going to be a big part of game planning as well, too. What is Kyle Pitts' role going to be? Because we, as Falcons fans, have all had our own opinions on what we want to see from Kyle Pitts, what we think Kyle Pitts' role on this team should be, whether it's being a traditional tight end and just getting better at blocking, or basically being a de facto wide receiver and just allowing him to try and take the top off the defense in some way, shape, or form, or run those, you know, intermediate routes. We've all had our different opinions on what we want to see from Kyle Pitts. But here is Atlanta Falcons offensive coordinator Tommy Rees on what his expectations are for Kyle Pitts this season.
Yeah, I mean, shoot, Kyle's been a really good player in this league for a number of years now. And, you know, he's coming off a great season where, you know, he's shown where his talent is and what his level of commitment is. And he's a great veteran for us right now. He's pushing the guys around him. And, you know, obviously you've seen him have success, like I said. And we're excited for all the different ways to use him. And, you know, Kyle's a great example of the buy-in being an extremely high level right now.
So, again, it'll be interesting to see how he fits, because – when you think of Kevin Stefanski, you think of a little bit of a tight end whisperer. And you think about what he's been able to get out of guys like, you know, David Njoku at times in their career. As far as a receiver goes, he's not necessarily a blocker, because David Njoku might actually be a worse blocker than Kyle Pitts. But regardless, as far as having tight ends be effective in the passing game, Kevin Stefanski has been good at that. And so we'll see if he and Tommy Rees can get good production out of Pitts this season, but I do think there is something to maybe watch out for when it comes to this team isn't where they want to be when you get close to the trade deadline, and maybe don't necessarily have an opportunity to get to where they want to be. He could be a candidate to maybe be moved on from and at least maybe get a draft pick for him. So we'll see what happens. But I want to stick with the offense, but move on to a different position. I want to talk about running back, and I want to talk about our guy, Bijan, because obviously had a huge season last season, and I am very, very excited to see what Bijan is able to do in this Tommy Rees and Kevin Stefanski offense. And Bijan's already putting in the work as far as trying to understand what things are going to be different, what things are going to be the same. He was watching some Nick Chubb this offseason to figure out just exactly how he fits in Kevin Stefanski and Tommy Rees' running game, and to get a better understanding of just what he's going to be asked to do. And so here's Bijan talking about that.
Yeah. I've been watching him for a long time. But yeah, definitely with the scheme now, like, been seeing how he set up everything, and he in the offenses that they had, he created a lot of explosives. I think he was like the number one explosive back at the time. So, you know, I love to see that and hear it. But yeah, it just looks so simple for the run scheme that they ran, and they made it all look easy, and he became who he was in the NFL. So that's why I appreciate it with them.
There you go. I'm very excited to see, again, how Bijan is featured in this offense. And look, he's going to be obviously featured. He's going to be the Falcons' main weapon, along with obviously Drake London. And again, we just talked about Kyle Pitts and see how he fits in and things like that. But very excited to see just what this offense is going to look like, what it's going to entail, how it's going to try to attack defenses, and again use the Falcons' best players and best assets. When you talk about Bijan and Drake and Kyle and things like that, I'm just very intrigued to see what it all looks like. So, going to be exciting to see there once we get to that point in time of the year. But let's hear the Falcons OC, Tommy Reese, again talk about one of the rookies, that being Zachariah Branch, obviously. And it's been good to see Zachariah Branch out there on the field during Falcons OTA. He's been looking pretty good, making some cuts. I know some comments have been made about his stature and his height, but look, you're a good football player, you're a good football player. And if you're a game breaker, and if you're a game changer, you a dog, then height's only a number. Now, obviously, there are going to be some things and ways that the Falcons probably don't want to try and use Zachariah Branch. Like, you know, Zachariah Branch is going to be their jump ball guy. Their 50-50 ball guy is going to be Drake London. But there's still a multitude of ways I think they'll be able to utilize Zachariah Branch. Obviously, in the wide receiver screen game, I think we're going to see a lot of that early on. I think we are going to see him be able to go into some deep routes. But I am interested to see, you know, if how much of the route tree they're going to go out and let Zachariah Branch run in year one as well, too. Obviously, I think as he continues to develop and things like that, you know, that'll become more part of his game. And he can become a true slot receiver for the Falcons. But I'm interested to see, you know, what all the Falcons allow Zachariah Branch to do in year one. And Tommy Reese, again, Falcons OC, was talking about Zachariah Branch's progress thus far here through OTAs.
You know, right now it's, you know, getting Zach up to speed with, you know, all the things within the system and the techniques and the fundamentals that we're asking. You know, I think, you know, he has a really, you know, positive skill set. You see that the moment he steps on the field. And, again, just fundamentals, techniques right now to make sure that, you know, we can put him in the best position to use his natural gifts.
There you go. And you heard it there at the end. Put him in position to use his natural gifts, that being his speed, that being his ability to break tackles and get some yards after the catch, maybe even yards after contact. So, again, going back to what I was just saying, I think a lot of what we're going to see year one, and again, it'll continue to blossom throughout his career, but I think a lot of what we're going to see year one is what we saw him do in Georgia as far as wide receiver screens, going deep, trying to take the top off the defense, and some maybe running some intermediate routes here and there, but I think it's going to be a lot of wide receiver screens. You know, maybe we'll see some wide receiver sweeps in there as well. They'll get creative with how they use Zachariah Branch, but obviously as his career continues and he gets better, he becomes an even better route runner, I think we'll see him become a true slot receiver. But a lot of this year is going to be a lot of the same of what we saw at Georgia, I believe. Again, like you heard Tommy Reese say there, they're going to find ways to put him in position to be able to use his natural gifts. So I'm all for that, at least for year one. Some quick things here before we have to wrap things up and hand things off to the morning shift. Aaron Rodgers says this is it. This is going to be his final season in the NFL. So Aaron Rodgers ready to call it quits after this year. We'll see how the year plays out. And if he sticks to that, obviously we know, you know, a guy he sat behind a long time, Brett Favre, always kind of went back and forth as far as, oh, I'm going to retire. Now I'm going to play again. Oh, I'm going to retire. Now I'm going to play again. And so I don't know if Rodgers is going to do that. It seems like his mind is probably made up, but you never know. And then Joe Burrow said he feels like this Bengals team is the best team he's ever played on, and he feels like they got all the pieces. They just got to go out there and do it. And he thinks they can win a Super Bowl. So Super Bowl or bust expectations, it sounds like Joe Burrow's putting on this Bengals team. We'll see if they live up to it. I think if they can stay healthy, I don't see why not. All right, that is my time. I appreciate y'all tuning in. Morning Shift is coming up next here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan, Allie Mack, Red Hop in the Kia Studios in Tanya for the next 3 hours. I'll be hanging out with them as well. Morning Shift next here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey app. Until I talk to y'all tomorrow on a Friday. Noel, I appreciate you. Y'all have a great day. Peace.